T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One person that doesn't have to worry about people going after his locks is joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline right now. That's Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. Mike, you do a great job covering the NFL, the draft, college football as well. What are your thoughts on Rashawn Gary as you look at the tape? He was kind of quiet in the preseason opener, so automatically in Wisconsin, people already calling him a bust.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm surprised that he was a little quiet. That's just kind of the guy we saw at Michigan. He was raw coming out. He had all the physical tools in the world, but in our minds, you know, in our world where we production is the main thing that we look at, our grades are reflective of what a guy has done on the football field, and him never grading out well at Michigan with all that athleticism kind of raised that red flag for us. Why are you not beating up, you know, offensive linemen that are no business being in the NFL, these guys who will never even sniff playing the NFL? We just don't think that's going to translate right away. We thought we called him a project, so while the pick could, you know, turn out to be good down the road, I just don't see him making a huge impact year one.
Okay, but eventually you see him being an impact player with the Packers?
Yeah, I think with all that athleticism, there hasn't been a guy quite like Rashawn Gary, you know, come out in quite some time just with what he brings to the table. I think he's similar to even Jadeveon Clowney in that manner, where Jadeveon Clowney, rookie year, second year in the NFL, the switch never really flipped. Now all of a sudden he's one of the best edge defenders in the NFL. So I do think that's the sort of path you're going to have to see from him, just because technically what he does from a technique standpoint just needs a long way to go.
So you talk about NFL ready. What are your thoughts on Darnell Savage? Is he NFL ready? Because we haven't seen much obviously yet in preseason, but I loved him at Maryland. He just seems like he's ready to be a factor already week one, but I'm not quite sure on that, obviously.
I think he is. I think what we saw from him in terms of making plays over the middle of the football field, his speed will obviously translate right away, and just the way he attacks receivers over the middle of the field. He just has no fear in terms of laying the boom, laying guys out, making plays on the football. The way he attacks that is just a far cry from what we saw from Ha-Ha Clinton Dix in terms of physicality over the middle of the field. So I just think right away that will at least translate. I'm not sure if you're going to get necessarily a playmaker right out the gate. Safety's a difficult position to learn the nuances of a defense in, but I think he's going to be playing a lot of the single high role in Mike Pettine's defense, which is not necessarily a super nuanced role. It's the same that he played a lot out at Maryland as well in terms of what you're reading. So I do think that he'll be an upgrade right off the game, especially from what they had last season.
So tough, like you mentioned, you touched on a little bit. It's tough for a rookie. If there's any position on the football field, I feel like in the secondary is the toughest for a rookie to come in and be an impact player, at least right away.
Well, yeah, I think safety, that's just the nature of the position. You're asked to do so many different things in the modern NFL, whether it's, you know, because playing deep safety, middle of the field safety is different sort of reads than deep split field safety, which is different than when you're dropping down in the box, which is different than playing the slot. So you're asked to do way more different things, whereas if you're a defensive lineman, if you're Rashawn Gary, it's basically, hey, beat this guy in front of you, hey, read this double team sometimes. There's not much thinking going on, whereas safety position, you can get lost in your own head pretty easily.
We're talking with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. And Mike, when the Packers let Mike Daniels walk a few weeks back, I read one of your tweets kind of breaking down why they did it, which made sense financially. But how big of a loss is that for the Packers with all the new additions they have on that side of the ball, especially rushing the passer this year? Do you think it's going to be that big of a loss?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is necessarily $10 million of a loss or whatever they gain in cap space. It probably wasn't worth that much to them with all the bodies they have added to that defensive line. But they are a worse team without him. I mean, he's no doubt still a good pass rusher when he was on the field even last year. Even the down year was still getting after the passer at a high level in our grading system. So I think you saw why the Lions, you know, gave him a real deal, a $10 million range for him this upcoming season. It's because he still has something left in the tank. Now, was he going to play a ton of snaps in the Packers defense with all the guys they've added? Were you going to, you know, cut Rashawn Gary snaps? to give them to Mike Daniels, the guy who you just drafted in the first round? Were you really going to not let him see the football field? I'm not sure about that. I think that's probably the factors why, but there is no doubt that on third downs, their third down pressure package would have still been better with Mike Daniels on the field.
You know, Packers, sounds like they're going to be putting Rodgers in the pocket a lot more than Mike McCarthy had him. McCarthy had him, you know, rolling out outside the pocket, but the philosophy under LaFleur is keep Rodgers more as a pocket passer. You think that's a good way to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think the scrambling and the sort of always looking for that big play down the field, it just has to be cut down. He has to play within that offense far more than he has over the past few years. Just because you saw the offense go into funk so quickly. I think LaFleur's offense, though, will also at least just scheme easier throws for Rodgers. It's not going to be, hey, Rodgers, you know, if the first read's not there, all of a sudden we're asking you to do it all. It's going to be a lot more 1 to 2 to 3 sort of reads that are simplistic and sort of very well defined. I think you're going to see a lot of the Shanahan and McVay influence that LaFleur comes from play a factor in that. I just think it will be a more conducive offense to letting Rodgers work from the pocket.
We're talking with Mike Renner here on Chuck and Winkler. You can find his work at Pro Football Focus. Mike, we were just playing some clips of former Packer wide receiver Greg Jennings, as well as Colin Cowherd, some national hosts, taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers. They don't think the relationship's going to work between him and Matt LaFleur. What's your take on that? We think here in Milwaukee, we think that's overblown. We think Aaron Rodgers is coachable. What are your thoughts as kind of like an outsider?
Well, I think Rodgers has a big, you know, sort of bullseye on his back now. Everyone's been saying that after the Mike McCarthy thing. You had the article from Tyler Dunn. Like, that's been the whispers all for years now. So I think if he's not coachable, if the relationship does backfire, I mean, he's doing serious damage to his long-term reputation if that is the case. So I do think that he has to, in some way, you know, sort of swallow his pride and take the coaching or play within the offense now, or else it's really going to, he is going to live up to that sort of criticism, and it's going to be stick with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, the Packers are, I think, maybe at a certain point of the road with their kicker, Mason Crosby. And you know, they brought in a guy to challenge him. But this might be the waning days for Crosby as the kicker. He's been successful. He had a couple of hiccups last year, but I mean, I have a feeling if it's not this year and the next season or two, they might be moving on from Crosby as their kicker.
Well, kickers seem to age. The aging sort of bell curve is all over the map, and him being, I think, still in his mid-30s when you have, I think, still 10 years younger than Adam Vinatieri out there kicking. So I have no clue how kicker bell curves work when they actually start to decline. I think the more a guy has kicked, you almost want an older guy in there rather than a younger guy, because Mason Crosby has had years where things fell apart and had to rebound from them. So I think 1-2 missed kicks, you have far less chance when you have a guy like Crosby who's been around the block to really just go in the tank and really just have that terrible season, because he knows he's basically dealt with all that already and he's not going to get it in his own head after one missed kick.
Mike, I'm a bit of a homer, so I think it's going to be a big year for the Packers. I also think the Cowboys have a good shot, actually, at winning the division. What are your thoughts on the Dak situation in Dallas? Is he worth $40 million, and do they pay Zeke before week one, or do you really see him holding out?
I really don't think he is worth that much. And, I mean, as much as quarterbacks around the NFL are far more valuable than you know, any other position on the football field, and I think even guys like Aaron Rodgers, guys like that are still vastly underpaid for the actual value they're bringing to the table, I do think we're at a point in time in the NFL where you can find replaceable quarterback production easier than ever before. I think there are the influx of, whether it's, you know, Elite 11 coaching at the high school level, more spread offense at the high school level, more passing offenses in college. I just think you're getting more NFL-ready QBs enter the NFL year after year after year, that I think if you have to move on from Dak, you could be able to find one in the draft or free agency that you can get replaceable sort of play to Dak Prescott for not $40 million a year, because that all of a sudden cripples all your team building aspects.
I completely agree with that. We're talking with Mike Renner here on Chuck and Winkler. Mike, we're going to let you go. I know you're a busy man, but one last question. You just put out your 2020 mock draft, which is awesome. You can find that at PFF.com. You're at, on Twitter at PFF_Mike. But one thing you have in there, so you rate your quarterbacks 1 and 2, Tua at number 1, and then Justin Herbert going at 2. How do you rate this upcoming draft for quarterbacks? I've been really high on Herbert for a while now, and people have been calling me crazy, so I like seeing you have him there at number 2.
Yeah, I just think his arm is too special not to end up going at the top of the draft. And now, I'm not saying he's 100% going to be a franchise quarterback. We have Tua a good deal ahead of him on our top 50 draft board that's dropping today. Herbert comes in at number 7, Tua is at number 1. So there's a gap there, but I just think that he has, 6'6", 235, obviously looks the part, has the athleticism to break the pocket, has a howitzer of an arm, and it's far more accurate than, the guys in recent classes who have had howitzers of an arm and come out. So I just think from an accuracy and arm talent perspective, he has things that you can't coach, and we've seen it for games, seen it for, stretches of play where he just dominates. It's those games against San Jose State, the game against Arizona last year, where it looks like he's mentally just checked out, that I need to see not happen this upcoming season, because that's the biggest worry for me with him.
Yeah, I only ask this question because every year that Aaron Rodgers does struggle a little bit here in Wisconsin, we put up the question, should the Packers draft a quarterback in the first round? So it's good to know that there are some options out there. Mike, thank you. Enjoy your day, sir.
For sure. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Once again, that was Mike Renner. You could find his work on Pro Football Focus, also his 2020 preseason draft guide out right now at Pro Football Focus. You could also find him on Twitter, PFF_Mike. And he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.